He was trying to get his children to understand their place in the world, their dependence on the created order, their responsibility for the world, and towards each other. And in the main part, we have all failed. So when Jesus came along, he plumped for stories. We all love stories. I'm sure you can remember a story that you enjoyed as a child. And when we were cleaning our house to move, it was really hard to work out which of our children's books we should keep, because we remember reading these stories to our children and then to our grandchildren. There's nothing more affirming and pleasurable for a young child than that someone takes the time to sit down with them and share a story. No amount of electronic gadgets can make up for that. As a mother, now a grandmother, at the end of a busy and sometimes fraught day, and occasionally there have been arguments about baths or bedtime or whatever, it was always a joy to sit down and read a story together. Stories have come back into fashion, so much so that at a wedding I recently conducted, part of the evening entertainment was provided by a storyteller in a kilt with a harp. It turned out he was a New Zealander. He was really very interesting. You can go on storytelling courses, and if you're ever in Edinburgh in Scotland, you can pop into the Storytelling Centre, which is affiliated to the Church of Scotland, and you'll hear all about the history of story, and hear some wonderful stories there too. Jesus knew the power that stories can have in our lives, and so he told stories that could offer his listeners some truths about themselves and their relationship to God. Stories that could be talked about and discussed and picked to bits at later times. Stories that often had a variety of different possibilities as far as meaning is concerned. Otherwise, telling the same story year after year after year in church would become incredibly boring, but it means something different every time you hear it. So this story today, the story of the sower. The first question in my mind is, who is the sower? Who is the person who walks up and down throwing the seed from side to side in the hope that these little tiny grains, bought in those days very expensively and on which his future depended, would take root and grow? The growth of these little seedlings would provide for his family and the families of those around him. The sower knows that some of the ground is good and some is not. He knows that some of the seed will fall on the good soil. Who is he meant to be? Is he meant to be God, the Creator, the Maker, the Father? Well, it could be, because God is forever sowing seeds, the source of all life, of everything around us. God sows seeds in our lives with friends and family and love, in the words in our Bibles, in the quiet places of our hearts. So the sower, yes, the sower could be God. So let's look again. Who is the sower? Could it be Jesus, the storyteller himself? Could he be talking about himself? Yes, he could be, because Jesus spent his life on earth sowing seeds, teaching and healing, and of course ultimately sowing the seeds of eternity through his death and resurrection. Remember these words: unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains but a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. So Jesus, the sower, the seed, the bringer of grace and mercy and faith and hope. The sower God is the sower Jesus. Let's look a third time. Who is the sower? Well, it might be you, and it might be me, and it might be our calling in this world. What are we called to do? Because each one of us are called to different things at different times of our lives. How are we called to spread the story of our faith? It might be about how faith grows in community. It might describe our own community. Where is the rocky ground? Where is the fertile soil? Where can we grow our little new seedlings? This might be about today for us what we will start to experience together. New soil, new seeds, new opportunities. Together we can discover how faith grows in a community and a church. We might even discover the rocky road at times, the ups and downs, but underlying all of these experiences is the promise of great abundance to come with the harvest. Remember this from John's Gospel. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The sower can be all of these, all three intermingled, as we are now. A story that can tell us so much in so few words. The words of the late Leith Fisher, parish minister, theologian, and cyclist. So, give thanks for God, he says, who is forever sowing the seeds of life, who gives us the seed that is Christ and makes us living seeds, tiny yet fruitful, the scattering of his hand. Give thanks for Christ the seed and the sower, who sows the seeds of faith in us and calls and commissions each one of us to be sowers of the seed in places both barren and fertile, and promises harvest, though the measure of the harvest is always his, not ours. Give thanks then for our continuing part in the work of God in this world. And now we'll listen to the second part of this parable and see what Jesus has to tell us now that we've had a go of trying to work out what it means.
The second reading is also from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 18 to 23, and can be found on page 979 of your pew Bibles. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Afterwards, they did what they were supposed to do, and what we're supposed to do when we hear a message. that the seed is received in four different ways. Three of them negative and one overwhelmingly positive. And every time we hear this story, I try to put myself in one of these places because we're never all in the same place at the same time. Those of you who speak to others about matters of faith will recognize all of these scenarios and all of these people, because people have not changed a bit over the centuries. Jesus was a supreme psychologist and he knew about people. And these stories are about you and me. The seed which falls on the path is likened to those who hear the word of God, but it means nothing to them. It just lies there. And so it's quickly snatched away. In our day, that might represent people who are caught up in things that take over control of their lives. For instance, crime, pornography, drugs, alcohol, gambling, just some of the list of our modern day evils. Or it might be people who are so consumed with the burning need for power or recognition or wealth, so much so that they've no time at all for the things of the Spirit. The seed which falls on the rocky ground tries to take root, but it doesn't last long. It shrivels in the sun. And it represents those who hear the word with great enthusiasm. They're absolutely all full of it. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. They drift away very quickly. You know the ones, the people who hear the news of wars and disasters, or even those who've lost someone they love, and God is blamed for all of these things. How can God do this or that? It's always God's fault. In the early days of the church, of course, this referred to life or death decisions. In order to hang on in there, you have to be pretty brave. Is your faith strong enough to lay your life down for it? In some parts of the world, recently in one of our own congregations here in the International Presbytery in Sri Lanka, as they worshipped, Christians were being attacked and killed not many streets away. They could hear the noise behind the doors of their church. Praise God that they were safe, but many others were not. How would we fear if it was dangerous to come to worship on a Sunday morning? Would we all just stay at home? The seed which falls among thorns represents those who do hear the word. It all begins to take root, but they're just too busy and tied up with their anxieties, their worries, their work, their love of material things, that it just gets pushed out. There should always be room in our lives for the things of the Spirit. These are the things that last forever. Everything that we accumulate in our lives can be taken away in a moment. And Jesus had a story that covered that one too. Maybe we'll explore that one later in the summer. And lastly, the seed that lands on the good soil represents those whose faith is growing all the time, out of all proportion to the smallness of the initial outlay. The interest on our tiny deposit is huge, unlike your savings account here. The life of faith will always encounter difficulties and even opposition at times, but in the end it will prevail, and we haven't even an idea of the wonders of the harvest as yet. And we're not any of us a member of any of these four groups all the time. We come and go between the rocky ground and the good ground. We come and go between the thorny places and the good places. And we need to continue to support each other in all of those difficult times, because persistence is the real word for faith. Persistence, even when you don't feel like practicing your faith, persistence. And in all this, we must never forget that we are not alone. Those little seeds sown on our doorstep or in each home, those little seeds sown in the hearts of our friends and neighbours because of what we are, because of the witness of our lives, those little seeds are watered and tended by our God. We may never know the results of these seeds, but we can be sure that there will be results. And those who trust in the Lord, says the hymn, will renew their strength. They will rise up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weak. They will walk and not grow weak. For the Lord himself will bear them up and hold them in his arms.